what faith is. Over the course of my life, I have discovered that the primary reason that people don't communicate or don't communicate well or there's misunderstandings is that sometimes I might mean one thing by a particular word, but you mean another thing by that same word. Okay? In other words, we're just sort of talking past each other. And I think that that can be the case even when we're talking, maybe even more so, when we're talking about theological things. Because not everybody agrees on what certain terms mean, or at least their life experience is different. They experience things in different ways. I loaned a great book that I had. It was called Across the Spectrum. I loaned it to Pastor Stevens, and he sent me a note back, and he said, I really, really, really like this book. But it talks about the various ways in which people understand the Christian faith and how they express it in their understanding, how they express it in their worship, how they express it in how they live their lives. But I think no matter how we look at faith, we have to agree, I think, if we've read the Bible, that faith is an important thing. How many of you have ever encouraged another person and told them, just have faith, or keep the faith? We affirm that we are justified by faith. Faith is a big deal for Christians, and rightly so. Why? Because God's word has a lot to say about faith. It tells us that we are cleansed by faith. It tells us that we are saved by faith, that we are justified by faith, that we have access to God by faith, that we, again, we've been saved by faith. We live by faith. We're to walk by faith. We're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to take up the shield of faith. And we're to overcome the world by faith. The Bible is also clear that without faith, it's impossible to please God. It also says that whatever is not of faith is sin. So whatever else we can say about faith, the Bible makes it pretty clear that this is an immensely important topic. But have we stopped to ask ourselves, what is faith? Sometimes when we use that word, we can use it simply as a description of what Christians believe to be true. We sang the song this morning, we believe. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. All of those tenets. We believe that he was crucified, died, was buried. We believe that he rose again on the third day. Amen. And we believe that he's coming again. Amen. This is a description of what we believe. You may remember not too long ago, I shared a sermon. We covered the entire book of Jude. Remember that one? Dear friends, he says in verse 3, I had been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share, but now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. The faith. That's what the faith is. I believe that there's a God. He's the creator. I believe in his son, Jesus Christ, his only son, our Lord. I believe that he died, that he was buried and he rose again. I believe. And this is the accepted body of truth that we might just call the Christian faith. The early followers of Jesus used these summary statements to define what the faith is. Paul referenced the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for I delivered to you which I had also received. Christ was crucified, he died, was buried, and he rose again. And then he appeared to 5,000, to the 12 and to the 5,000, and last of all, he appeared to me. These are the things that we believe. And guess what? What you believe will define how you live. If we get this wrong, our lives are going to be aimed off in the wrong direction, a little bit or a lot. One of my favorite writers, a man by the name of A.W. Tozer. Has anybody ever heard of him? Oh, wow, a lot of you. Good old holiness guy. Christian Missionary Alliance. By the way, he never went to Bible college. But one of the most profound writers. Here's how he put it. How important knowing the faith is. He said, the effort to be practicing Christians without knowing what Christianity is all about must always fail. The true Christian should be, indeed must be, a theologian. That is, he must know at least something about the wealth of truth that is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. And he must know it with sufficient clarity to be able to state it and to defend his statement. And whatever can be stated and defended is what we call a creed. We sang a creed this morning. We believe in God the Father. We believe these things. These are the things upon which we have built our lives. As much as it's important to know what the word faith means, it's also important to know the one in whom we have placed our faith. It really, 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 really matters what you believe about Jesus. Some people have suggested otherwise. They've insisted that the only thing that's important is that you believe in Jesus in some mystical sense and you try your best to follow his teachings. Now, of course, we ought to do our best to follow the teachings of Jesus. But what's missing? What's missing is the answer to the question, well, just who is Jesus? Why should I follow his teachings? If he's just another man, what does it matter? Why that man's teachings over another man's teachings? If that's all that Jesus is. Is he the Son of God? Maybe he's a little bit of both. Maybe he's man and divine in some sense. Did he really rise from the dead after his crucifixion? Or did his followers only think that he rose from the dead, but didn't really see it? It is certainly important for us to put our faith in Jesus, but we have to know about the one in whom we are putting our faith. We have to know it. Who Jesus is defines whether our faith is genuine, biblical, or not. There's just no way around it. Did you know what the primary point of conflict was between Jesus and the spiritually serious people of his day? Oh, he would go around healing people and he would teach people and he cast out demons and he would do all these kinds of things. That bugged them a little bit. But you know what really got them riled up? Was when he identified who he was. That's what really got them stirred up. His claim to be God. And guess what? He could have settled this all and settled everything down, just said, well, hey, boys, you just misunderstood. I'm not claiming to be God. I'm just claiming to have God's favor on me or something. No. He never backed away from his claim of equality with God. As a matter of fact, he refused to back away. It's when he asserted that he was the Son of God, the unique Son of God, claiming equality with God, the Bible says on multiple occasions, from that moment forward, they sought to kill him. They didn't kill him because he healed a few people. They didn't kill him because he taught a few things that got him a little upset. No, They went after him and sought to take his life when he claimed to be God. But guess what? He even went further. He taught that faith in him embraced a belief that he is God. And that apart from this, there could be no salvation for anyone. Amen. John chapter 8, Jesus says, it says, Jesus continued, "You are from below. I am from above. You belong to this world. I do not. That is why I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you will die in your sins." Who Jesus is a big deal. Matter of fact, it's the only deal. Believing the right things about Jesus Christ is absolutely necessary to a biblical saving faith. There's no way around that. But, amen. So sometimes Christians use this is what we believe about Jesus, kind of describing their beliefs. But in another sense, Christians often use the word faith as more of a prescription. In other words, in light of what you know, this is what you should do. Something, faith is something you should exercise. It's how you should live. Remember the phrase, walk by faith. How many of you found that sometimes it's not always easy to walk by faith? Because we got these two little things here that kind of get in the way. We use one word, sight, to describe that. We see things. And what we see sometimes fights against faith. Now, there are also a couple of what I think are misguided definitions or characterizations of faith in this sense. First is this: faith is not some sort of mystical power. It's not some sort of mind over matter phenomenon where I just believe something hard enough and that makes it true. Just believe harder. And then I open one eye and make sure, did it happen? Some people, when they hear the word faith, it sort of reminds them sort of Disney World or something like that, or Disney movie. All you have to do is believe and things will happen. When you worship on a star everything your heart desires will come your way. Is that faith? Some people have that idea of faith. Just believe something hard enough and long enough and it'll happen. Well, guess what? Simply saying it's a beautiful day doesn't make it become a beautiful day. If it's snowy, the winds are blowing 356 miles an hour, the temperatures are below zero, it doesn't matter how much I might believe otherwise. I can believe and believe and believe that it's 75 and sunny, but the fact remains, it's snowy. The winds are 356 miles per hour, and the temperatures are below zero. Because this is the case. Believing something doesn't change the facts. And just believing something really, 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 really hard doesn't change the facts either. And I hate to burst your bubble, but just if we collectively sing Christmas carols louder and louder and louder, that does not power Santa's sleigh. That may make for a good movie plot, but it bears absolutely no resemblance to faith in the biblical sense. Secondly, faith is not a substitute for facts. Faith is not something that comes into play when we run out of facts. Faith is not an alternative to facts. In fact, faith is only valid when it is placed in facts. It doesn't matter whether you believe in Jesus Christ if Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. It doesn't matter. If Jesus never existed, you can believe in him all you want, and it's not going to change a thing. Faith doesn't exist in and of itself, but it is only meaningful as an attitude toward something, or in the case of the Christian faith, toward someone. Again, faith is not just shutting your eyes and wishing on a star. What's most important is the object of our faith, because the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, determines whether or not that faith will be an effective faith. Amen. Faith is not wishful thinking, nor is it just having a positive mental attitude. As good as that might be, that's not biblical faith. Fortunately, the Bible tells us what faith is. It tells us all about faith, but then it also defines it for us. Hebrews chapter 11. I looked it up in three different versions. The New Living Translation, which is in your pew Bibles, the New King James Version, and the English Standard Version, three of my favorites. The New Living Translation puts it this way: faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Even when I don't see it. Through their faith, verse 2, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. The New King James Version puts it this way: now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And the English Standard Version: now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. So here we have faith, biblical, genuine biblical faith. That faith is the reality, the substance, the assurance that what we hope for will actually come to pass. Amen. That what we hope for will happen. It's a conclusion that is based upon the available data that we have. Faith puts its trust in God's character. As we mentioned earlier, as you look back across this past year, or maybe you look past into the past in the rest of your life, have you seen the faithfulness of God? Yes. Those facts bring us to today. I haven't seen tomorrow, but I've seen yesterday. And what I know from yesterday, the facts of yesterday, inform my view of tomorrow. Even though I haven't yet seen it. The fact is that God has kept his promises to me. God has been faithful. Faith then is acting in accordance with those promises. That the God who promised before and came through is the God who still promises and will come through. Again, as we say, even when there are things we cannot see, even when there are things that we cannot verify with our natural eyes, we still have the assurance. Faith gives us the assurance about those things. Things like God's grace will be there for us. God's forgiveness will be there for us. It also gives us assurance about other things we haven't seen, that there's a heaven and there's a hell. It gives us assurance about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How many of you have had those days when you haven't felt like the Holy Spirit's living within you? Guess what? He still is. That's right. Why? Because we are confident not about us, but about the character of the one who tells us these things.
Praise God.
What's that look like, though? What are some of the components of faith? Well, I've kind of separated into three components. Now, they're not independent of each other. Matter of fact, you can't have the other two unless you have the first one. You can't have the first and third unless you have the second. You can't have the third unless you have the first two. Okay, these are not separate. These are synergistic, as they say. So in order for us to understand faith in the biblical sense, we need to understand these components. First one is what I call content or knowledge. The second is affirmation or assent, and we'll unpack this a little bit, and commitment and trust. Again, each one builds upon and supports the others, and all three together make for a genuine biblical faith. Each one is absolutely essential. We've already talked a little bit about the first one, content and knowledge. To have a genuine biblical faith, you have to know the gospel. How will people know unless someone tells them? How will someone tell them unless someone sends them? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing leads to, we trust, knowing. That is, you have to know where it is that you're putting your faith. Great writer, a pastor by the name of Tim Keller, pastor, I think he's retired now from a church in New York City. He said, the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is not whether you have faith, but where you put the faith you have. Where you're building your life and what you're building your life on. The fact is, everybody lives by faith. Question is, where is that faith anchored? Every one of us has faith in something. Maybe it's God. Maybe it's in our own personal abilities. Maybe it's in human ingenuity. And if you're a really sad sack, maybe your faith is in the government. See that? There was like a first wave of laughter, then it died down. Yes. Some of you just got it a little later than the others, so. We all have faith in something. For the Christian, our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That faith is anchored to the fact that Jesus died and rose again, proving himself to be who he said he was. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People who say they believe in or have faith in Jesus are often declaring that they believe he was a real person. And that he did real things. And that the stories in the Bible recorded by the witnesses who saw these things are true. But that in and of itself is not the fullness of faith that the Bible requires. Just believing certain facts about Jesus is essential, but not enough. Or we would say it's necessary, but not sufficient. We need something else. And that is what I would call the second thing that would be the component of faith, would be affirmation or assent. Now, to assent to something means to agree to or approve of something, such as an idea or a suggestion, especially after thoughtful consideration. Lots of people wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus encouraged every single one of them, stop and think about it. Count the cost. The Christian faith is not something to be entered into lightly or without consideration. It would be one of those things like Jesus talked about the parable of the sower, and that some seed fell on good ground, some fell on various other types of ground, and sprang up for just a moment and then was gone, got burned because there was no depth to it. A Christian faith not based upon the facts will be a very shallow faith. If we haven't given thoughtful consideration to the claims of Christianity and to the call of Christ to us, our faith is not going to grow deep. This component of the faith entails that we believe that the gospel message is not just the message that Jesus preached, but that it is true, that he is the only Savior. We believe it to be true that Jesus does offer forgiveness and new life to everyone who wants it. We can even believe that Jesus will forgive us of our sins. And we can even believe that he's the only one that can possibly save us. In other words, we affirm that we believe this to be true and that it is relevant to our daily life. But guess what? Even if we add that component to our definition of faith, content or knowledge, affirmation and assent, those two things by themselves, neither does that express the fullness of a biblical faith. Why? Because the Bible is calling us to something deeper. And that something deeper is the third component, and that is commitment or trust. Now, maybe we could phrase this, maybe you've heard this phrase before, saving faith. This is when you take what you understand and know, and that you affirm as true, and then entrust yourself to those truths. Maybe you can put it this way. It's the place where you come where you're willing to bet your life on these truths. It's reaching that point where you say, I believe that Jesus was the Son of God who came to set me free from the power of sin and death, and I am willing to entrust myself and my eternal destiny to him fully. Amen. Further, I'll believe that he will guide me and lead me in a path that will lead to my ultimate good. Even when I don't see it. Even when I don't feel it. God is still working to bring those things about. Now we see all of those components of faith, even just in our daily lives. How many of you know airplanes take off from airports? Now, although their track record's a little sketchy lately, they fly people to other destinations. Eventually. Yeah, years ago, Delta Airlines, their motto was, Delta, we get you there. Well, that's kind of the purpose for getting on an airplane, is to get where we're going. But that seemed rather minimalistic, right? I mean, can't you make my flight enjoyable too? We get you there. Quit complaining. We know these facts. We know the content. We have knowledge of it. And we may even believe that air travel is relatively safe and would be a good way for us to get to our destination, especially if it's a great distance. That's affirming the truth of it or assenting to the truth of it. However, you don't get to the level of commitment and trust till you get on the plane. And in order to get on the plane, How many of you found out that there's a little bit to go through? Well, first of all, you got to get your ticket. And by the way, your ticket has to be issued by the proper authority. You can have all the right information. You can write down departure time, departure place, arrival time, arrival place. You can have all the information that's on a genuine ticket. You can write it on a piece of paper and hand it to them. I'm ready to go. Are you going to fly? Not until you get an approved, authorized ticket. You don't write your own ticket in the Christian faith. If you're going to fly, you fly on God's terms. Amen. That's what the Christian faith is about. So here's how it plays out when it comes to our faith in God. It's one thing to say that Jesus is the Savior. It's yet another step to believe that he can and will save us. But it's still one more step to actually trust that he saves. That when you do what he says to do, to repent, to turn from your sin, that God will do what he says he will do. It's one thing to believe that God leads people and he provides for them. It's another thing to believe that God can lead you and provide for you in a way that's superior perhaps to anything else the world has to offer. That's content and affirmation or assent. However, it is something else entirely to actually rest in the promise of God and his ability to do what he says, even over what you desire. That's trust and commitment. It's easy to do what God calls us to do when it seems easy to us. Right. It's harder to trust and obey when it's not so easy. What distinguished the great saints in the stories of the Bible from the others is that they didn't just believe in God. They just didn't believe a few facts about God. They actually believed God and then lived their lives on the basis of that belief. Pastor Harris is going to share about that in the coming weeks. So many saints of God, by the way, in Hebrews chapter 11, go ahead and read that ahead of time. I don't think you'll be upset. It gives us a whole list of people. By faith, they did this. By faith, they did that. By faith, this person did this. Where would you say your level of faith is right now? Are you at the content stage? Or you kind of in the middle, maybe yeah, I know it and I believe it's true. But have you actually committed yourself to those truths? That is, have you staked your life and your eternal destiny on the truth that you say you believe? Quick question. Three frogs are sitting on a log. And two of them decide to jump. How many frogs are left on the log? Three. Deciding to jump and actually jumping are two different things. When it comes to Jesus, have you actually jumped? I've thought about it, and I think it's a really great idea. And you still sit on the side of the pool with your toes just moving around in the warm water. Over and over again, we go through this process of coming to know something, then to affirming it, and then committing to it. By the way, the walk of faith is a daily life. You will do it again today, and you will do it again tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow's challenges are going to be different, perhaps, than today's. But guess what? As we sang earlier, his mercies are there for us new every day too. Amen. And each day, each time, each occasion that we have to exercise our faith will cause us to grow deeper and deeper in our faith and closer in our relationship with the Lord. Well, what is the content of faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. This is perhaps the most fundamental aspect of the Christian faith. There is a God. But also, and secondarily, this God made the world and governs the world. That starts on Genesis 1:1, folks. In the beginning, God created. If you don't believe that, nothing else much matters. Because this, the Bible goes on to tell us more and more and more and more and more and reveals more and more and more about this God and his saving plan for our lives. Faith that God created the world is not some blind leap in the dark. It doesn't require us to suspend operation of our brains. In fact, it's the most reasonable response you can make, not just from a biblical standpoint. Go even outside the Bible. Look at science. Look at philosophy. Guess what? The universe began to exist. How it came into existence, people disagree. But the Bible says God caused the universe to exist. That's what the evidence says that. It says that the Bible is true, that the universe came into existence. But guess what? If you start with a posture of being sort of anti-supernatural, guess what your conclusions will be about that and all sorts of other things? That there must be some natural explanation for all of this. Some people believe that, well, basically the earth and life as we know it just happened by accident. From a scientific standpoint, there was nothing, and then there was something. Where did the something come from? How do we explain that? So many conditions were absolutely necessary in order for life to even form on this planet, or even for this planet to even form itself. So much so that not only is it extremely improbable that there are any other planets that can support life as we understand it, it's extremely improbable that our own planet should support life. From the standpoint of what we know scientifically, statistically, and logically, life of any kind should not exist anywhere, including here, and we shouldn't be here. Our own existence is a virtual impossibility. If gravity had been slightly stronger at the beginning of the universe, the Big Bang, even if you don't subscribe to that, but let's assume that's true, it would have collapsed back in on itself. If gravity was weaker, then the universe would have continued to expand too fast for molecules to form. And if you don't form molecules, you don't form planets. You don't form planets, you don't form people. It had to be just right. The odds stacked against even the formation of the simplest of proteins by random chance is so small as to be rendered impossible. But guess what? Here we are. And we're not merely existing, we're thinking and talking about the fact that we exist. But how do we explain this? The writer of Hebrews and the writer of Genesis tell us. The entire universe was formed at God's command. We know this, the writer of Hebrews says. But again, knowing it and even affirming it, all of this does not in and of itself save a single person. Why? Because we all have to make a choice. What are we going to do with that? And to what or who are we going to commit ourselves? You want to choose chance, random chance? And by the way, Pastor and I were talking this week. I'd read a book and he had made a statement people that he knew, they'd have to have more, he doesn't have enough faith to believe what they believe. And I said, I read a great book, says, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I can't go that far. I mean, that causes me to suspend every rational capacity that I have. Or I can choose that there's a creator. And guess what? What you choose matters. Whether God exists, whether Christianity is true, is not simply a matter that we can, that's an interesting thing. I'll think about it a little bit and push it aside. Because it presses on us every day and in myriad ways. Because what we believe will determine what we believe about that will determine what we believe about everything else. If we're not created in the image of God, what does it matter what we do? Which way are we going to orient our lives? Toward a faceless, nameless, random chance universe, or toward a creator God who loves us? Will we live for God, or will we live as if there is no God? That's the issue of commitment and trust. Because again, if there is no God, what is the point of anything? What's the point of you even being here today if God doesn't exist? What does it matter what you do this afternoon? What does it matter that the Ohio State Buckeyes lost? It doesn't matter. Because nothing matters. If there is no God, we live, we die, we're worm food. Paul put it this way, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die if there is no God. Sadly, many people live with that, in light of that idea. That's their mindset. And some take it to extremes, indulging in whatever they want. Why? Because they believe it doesn't matter. Frankly, they're living more consistent with their lives than those who pretend that life has meaning. For them, life is futile. It's simply a mad rush to emptiness and nothingness. And if they're right, why not? Have you ever thought about it this way, though? I wonder if any of the people who are working to save the world from climate change or global warming or global cooling or whatever it's called this week, I wonder if they've ever asked themselves this question. What are we saving it for? I mean, many people work numerous hours to make all kinds of money to buy more things, and then when they die, to just have them sold off for pennies on the dollar. What's the point? Why bother to restrain yourself in anything if this life is all that there is? And guess what? If this way of thinking increases, our world will become more and more animal-like than it is already. But on the other hand, guess what? They might be wrong. It might be true that we were created by God and for God. And if we believe that we were created to glorify God and to someday face Him, then that leads to another question. Why aren't we doing what He tells us to do? Why do we ignore Him? Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Amen. Genuine biblical faith, then, I believe, is believing that God exists, one, and that He rewards those who try to find Him. I don't know about you, but when I come to church, I believe I found God. But guess what? There's more to God that I need to know and experience. I want to continue to sincerely seek God. His mercies are new every day. I want to find out about those. I want to experience those. And guess what? We can never exhaust the full knowledge of God. We can never come to where we know and understand everything there is to know about God. But thanks be to God, we can know and understand enough in order to make this life meaningful and to have hope for the future. Faith, and we'll see this in the weeks to come, is not merely believing something, it's committing to it and then acting on it. So, in this sense, commitment and trust come about by action. It comes by us orienting our lives around what we really believe about God. That there is a God who made us. That there is a God who sees us. No matter where you are today, God sees you. He knows what you're going through. He's never surprised by anything that has happened to you or will happen to you. Nothing ever catches God off guard. Someone put it this way, there's one sentence God will never say. Wow, I didn't see that coming. He sees it already. How would we set our lives up? How would we live our lives if we really believed these things? And that one day we would stand before this God. The writer of Proverbs, I think, was pretty clear. You're probably familiar with the passage in Proverbs chapter 3. It says, trust in the Lord. Have faith in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. You see, once you answer that question and take action, you will have begun to live by faith. Brent and our worship team, if you'll come this morning. Biblical faith, then, is a posture of trust in the God who created us. And the God who loves us. And the God who extends the call to each of us. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter the weight of your burden. Nothing is too heavy for God. I want to close with this today. As we face this new year, maybe with some anxiety, maybe a little bit of trepidation, maybe with hope and anticipation. Maybe we're really hoping that God will guide us and direct us once again. There was a portion of a poem that was read by the King of England during his Christmas address to his nation in 1939. Those of you who know a little bit about history know that earlier in September of 1939, war broke out in Europe when Nazi Germany invaded Poland in September. England and Poland were allies, and so that drew England into the war. So just the first few months of the war, can you imagine the uncertainty that prevailed? Anxiety and fear gripped the hearts of many British citizens. But as he gave his annual Christmas address, he shared the words, part of the words to this poem. He said, "I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. But he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." So the person said, "I went forth, and finding the hand of God, I walked gladly into the night." I don't even know what tomorrow will hold. I don't even know what this evening will hold. But I want to have faith enough to hold the hand of God as I walk into the unknown. Faith is the assurance of the things I can't see, the conviction of the things that I hope for. I hope God will lead me this year, and I trust that he will. But God, help me to exercise that faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to be together this morning. We pray that your Son Jesus has been glorified by our gathering this morning. And Lord, help us to reach out and take the hand of God as we go into this new year, knowing that in your presence and in your grip, Lord, we are in a better and safer place than we could ever be. Help us then, Lord, to walk confidently and boldly into the tomorrows that will make up the year 2023. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brent?
Hey, just a heads up on the media. Let's start in verse 2 on this song, "Let Our Faith Be More."